Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Progressive Bitcoiner. I'm your host, Trey Walsh, and today we've got a fun show for you. We've got Sam from Wavelake. Sam is a musician, also from the Lightning Store. You will know about all the awesome teas and Bitcoin culture and band culture stuff that, Sam works on. He's on the show today to talk about Wavelake. And now Wavelake, at Wavelake, they envision a new online world where creators and listeners can freely transact with one another in an open ecosystem. And this is built on Noster. And yes, I've talked about Noster many times on this show before, decentralized social media and communications. So imagine Wavelake like the new upgrade of Spotify, really, where creators can go on and get paid in Bitcoin, in sats, musicians to promote their music, and where listeners can reward and pay sats for music that they really like as well. So this is a really cool conversation, and you'll be able to find links to Wavelake and where to download and try it out as well for iPhone, for mobile, for desktop, all of those things. So you can check that in the show notes as well. But in this episode, we talked about the creator economy. We talked about Bitcoin and how Sam first got into Bitcoin and what made him want to do all of these fun and creative projects that he's working on in the ecosystem, and really Bitcoin for creatives and content creators. This is a huge focus of this conversation and how important it is to the creator economy and how Bitcoin is enabling and upgrading things in a really cool way, especially with the music industry being as terrible as it can be sometimes to musicians and creators. Stuff like Wavelake and focusing on creators and peer-to-peer transactions and paying with sats and Bitcoin is a perfect fit for the world we want to evolve into and create. So I want to thank Sam for coming on the show. Always a pleasure to chat with him and have him on the show. Now, we've got some housekeeping as well that I want to make sure to touch base with everyone on, including some messages from our sponsors. So first and foremost, Zeus. Zeus has been a partner with ours for a little while now, and just want to promote something. They're doing a new discount. So you all can head to ZeusLN.com, as I've mentioned before, to play around with the awesome Lightning wallet from Zeus. But also new is you can save 5% on LSP fees using code TPB in the access code under LSP settings. So that's going to save you on fees within the app. Now you have to update to the beta version for now to do that. So all of that info is in the show notes, as well as how to do that. And I want to encourage you all to take advantage of that and save on these fees. And Zeus is giving the best experience for Lightning, enabling Bitcoin payments around. And Evan and the team at Zeus are doing really, really incredible work. So please check that out in the show notes. And also shout out to our sponsor, Bitbox. As always, it's my favorite Bitcoin hardware wallet and the best way to secure your Bitcoin private keys. Now you're going to get 5% off your purchase using code TPB at the checkout. And again, head to bitbox.swiss/TPB and use TPB in the promo code to get 5% off your purchase. So be sure to take advantage of that. Not only does it support the podcast, but it's products that I've personally used even before this podcast, and it'll save you money on those products as well. So be sure to check out those projects. And also don't forget about our Substack. So you can always check out our Substack, where you're going to get weekly episodes delivered to your inbox every Tuesday when we release the show, as well as our free newsletter. And I've begun to write more frequently for the newsletter, focusing on stories that are really important to us around the environment, human rights, Bitcoin for human rights, payments, and all of these other things, as well as just general news and updates in the Bitcoin landscape in a way that's easily digestible and shareable via Substack. So again, head to progressivebitcoiner.substack.com to subscribe today. That would be really awesome. And if you find any stories that you want to share through that would be extremely helpful as well. That's another way for us to grow our reach through the podcast. And as always, you can follow the pod on social media. We are everywhere on social media. We're probably most active on X and on Noster, because that's where the largest part of our audience is. But we are growing and expanding on Instagram. We're on TikTok, Threads, Facebook, LinkedIn. We are everywhere. Blue Sky as well, trying to really appeal and get out the message that Bitcoin is for everyone. And yes, Bitcoin is for progressives as well, and promoting human rights and the environment and all of that good stuff. So we try to regularly promote those things on our social media. So please check that out in the show notes as well. Be sure to follow us on social media and share for normies in your life that might be on Instagram and not Noster and things like that. We try to be everywhere for everyone. And as always, we have our Geyser Fund as well. That's probably the best way to support the podcast. We are on a Bitcoin standard here at the podcast. So you can send us sats and Bitcoin through our Geyser Fund that is in the show notes. And for those that don't know what Geyser is, it's basically like a GoFundMe, but using Bitcoin instead. So you can support us by donating to our Geyser Fund. We got some shout out rewards on there as well. And we're going to have merch soon through that as well. So Want to mention our Geyser Fund, so please check that out in the show notes and donate. Every sat counts in terms of our production and rolling out the podcast and for us to eventually expand and grow. Any support means a ton to us. So thank you so much for doing that. And I want to mention our Telegram group too. We have a Telegram group where you can join in on the conversation. We've got about 173 members right now talking about all sorts of things within Bitcoin, progressive values, podcast episodes. So that's going to be in the show notes as well. So please join our open Telegram group if you're interested in that. And lastly, I want to mention, speaking of having Sam on the show, and with Lightning Store, we're rolling out a new promo code with Lightning Store. So Sam's merch that I am wearing right now, the Satoshi shirt that is pretty famous these days, that's one of the merch items that you can find on the store. So if you use promo code TPB, you're going to get 20% off all merch on Sam's Lightning Store. So please do check that out. It's super fun. Every single shirt and item is kind of a cross-reference to popular culture and bands, but with a Bitcoin and Noster spin on it. So please do check that out. The shirts are awesome. They're super comfortable. They're super stylish. And they're a great way to expose Bitcoin to the greater world. As you're walking around, people might say, oh, what's that shirt? You know, where, how are you wearing that? You know, that Nirvana shirt? What is Satoshi? You know, all of these other things. It's a great way to start conversations with people. So again, use code TPB to get 20% off of Sam's Lightning Store. All right, a little more updates than usual, but we've got a lot going on and I wanted to make sure to share it with you all. So again, be sure to check out these show notes and be sure to like and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. It's really going to help us amplify the message. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to hit the like button and subscribe and share wherever you get your pods. The podcast is available wherever you're getting your pods. So please feel free to leave us a review as well. That would be super helpful, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. All right, I will let you get to this fun conversation with Sam and we will see you again next week. Hey, Sam, welcome to the Progressive Bitcoiner. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing well. Probably not as busy as you've been since this past weekend at the time of recording, finishing up your huge event out in Phoenix. And also, I'll mention, people on YouTube, I, of course, have to wear the Satoshi shirt.
Thank you for repping the shirt. Yeah, that's I appreciate the shirt representation.
Like, if you were to ask a Bitcoiner, they would say it like broke the internet. Maybe it didn't quite do that, but from the Bitcoin worldview, I think I posted like a meme of like everyone watching the Super Bowl. And for those that don't know, Jack Dorsey was seen at the Super Bowl wearing this, for those that are on video, this Satoshi shirt that I'm wearing from Lightning Store, kind of like a band shirt from Nirvana. And, you know, for me and everyone else in Bitcoin, we're like, oh my gosh. But then for like the rest of the world, they're like, didn't even notice. They're like, oh, Beyonce, Jay-Z, because Jack Dorsey was sitting next to them.
It was just cool to be, to be one degree of separation in the presence of royalty.
Yeah. What, like, maybe I'm building it up too much. And, you know, maybe if I lift your ego up too much, you know, let me know. But did
my ego died a long time ago. It's impossible. You're gonna have to dig it out of a grave somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, obviously, so this happened at, that I realize now too, the Super Bowl, like before, the year before. Or maybe a couple now where Jack has worn that shirt a few times. So for you seeing it again, was it like, oh, this is super cool? Like, did you legitimately see a ton of web traffic out of this? Or what was that like?
Yeah. No, I mean, not as much as you might expect, because there were 110 million people watching the Super Bowl the year before.
Right.
The year before he wore it, but I don't think it got the TV coverage that it got this time.
Okay.
Some people just sort of saw him up in a booth somewhere or whatever those are called, you know, balcony seating. But this one, it was like, you know, a good 10 seconds of highlighting Jay-Z and Beyonce. And then he was just sitting right next to him. So I think it's just, it was funny, but yeah, it did. I mean, it definitely, like, I packed a bunch of orders. Despite the fact that I own a fulfillment warehouse and have employees that pack orders all day, I still do online. So it was a really busy week because I had to get everything printed, and then I packed it all on Thursday before getting ready for Culture Shock on Friday, which was the event that you referenced in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very busy week. It was like, you know, Jack Dorsey t-shirt explosion into Culture Shock explosion into this podcast with you explosion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I'm super excited for this conversation. I've had the privilege to connect with you a few times now, and think you're doing such cool stuff in the space. Such cool stuff like Nostra enabled for creatives, for music. There's so much that I want to get into with you on this podcast. But for those that don't know you, I've referenced the Lightning Store. We haven't touched on Wavelake yet. Do you want to just give a little background of who you are, kind of your background and what you've been working on in the space?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, going a little further back pre all this, all Bitcoin stuff, you know, I'm a musician. I was a touring musician for years, and that band broke up in the mid 2000s, and I started a merchandise company that I've now been doing for 16 years called Hello Merch, and also works in the music industry. We worked about 400 bands, and so I've just always, ever since I could, I've been connected in that world to some extent. You know, I've kind of done everything in music, and now for a significant amount of time in e-commerce as well. So the idea of Bitcoin really made a lot of sense to me, just from an e-commerce perspective. Like, having started a business in 2007, 2008, and needing to get an e-commerce site set up was very different than it is today. It was an incredibly daunting process. You'd have to go in, like, physically walk into a bank to get permission to accept credit cards through some payment gateway, and you needed all these certificates. And now you can just set up a Shopify store in like 2 seconds, you know. But
yeah,
what hasn't changed is they always take, you know, 3% and a 30 cent, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit better, like 20 to 30 cent transaction fee. Sometimes it's worse if it's international or American mm-hmm. Express or something like that. So the volume of orders that we do per day at Hello is quite a lot. And the idea of being able to bypass that was really cool to me. So I started taking Bitcoin as an experiment back in 2014 on that site, and just kind of like didn't know much about it. I had a friend mm-hmm. who turned me on to it, who told me about it. And I was just like, all right, well, I'm not going to buy any, but if people want to exchange it for t-shirts, that's fine with me. You know, I don't care. And it was cool. And some people did. And it was, you know, interesting to follow along in those days. Every, you know, year or so, I'd be like, oh, what's going on with Bitcoin? And I'd go Google it and see what was happening and kind of catch up to speed and be like, oh, it's $200 today. And mm-hmm. that's kind of cool. And like, oh, wow, now it's like $1,500. And I'd go look at it again later and be like, oh, now it's back down to $7. That kind of sucks, you know. But it was fun just to like check in on it and whatever. But I didn't know. It didn't seem like people weren't using it enough that it seemed like it was going to be any kind of solution at that point mm-hmm. for me. And then, but I still was fine with just having it there. You know, it's like I have PayPal turned on, I have Amazon payments turned on, and I have regular credit card payments. Whatever anybody wants to do is fine with me. So, you know, kind of fast forward a little bit into 2017, I think is when a lot of people really started waking up to Bitcoin. I'm sure you've heard this story like 400,000 times on this show, you know, but it's when it started. The price got crazy, and then the block size wars and all the stuff that was happening around there. And my friends started doing the Unconfiscatable. He started that conference with a couple other people. And mm-hmm. so I went to the first two of those just to help him with merch. And to help him set up, because it was just kind of like a one man show for the setup really back then. And I learned a lot. Just being at those things, I started actually learning a lot. I have another friend, a mutual friend of ours. The three of us started like a message, like a little chat, and we started really digging into it, and it just became like part of the day to day conversation in my life with a couple of my friends. And mm-hmm. and then I saw Lightning come into play, and once that happened, the idea of being able to use this for e-commerce came back. You know, it was like, okay, this actually, maybe this is a viable thing, you know, like, because now you have these opportunities. But still, I really didn't know enough. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how I could participate outside of just activating it, you know, mm-hmm. and like participating in some way. So, you know, I did kind of the same thing. I just got a Casa node they were selling in 2018 or something, and mm-hmm. turned on autopilot. So I was running a Lightning node, but I didn't know what that meant. I just had it on next to my TV. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm helping, you know, but I'm not really doing anything. It's getting long winded, but like fast forward again, now like 2020, took a little bit of a breather on the Lightning stuff. I still had my node going, but I think I dropped off a little bit, probably as a result of Twitter just started getting annoying for me. I just left Twitter completely, and I'm like, I can't handle this. And then the end of 2020, I heard a TFTC podcast, I think, with Paul from Sphinx.
Okay.
Just someone told me to check it out, because they knew I was into the Lightning stuff. And that's when I first found out about streaming money, was through that. And I downloaded Sphinx, and I started a little tribe there, and I started listening to podcasts there and paying people in real time that I didn't know. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, this is okay. So now I think now all these years of, you know, fundamentally sort of understanding it, but not knowing where to go and wanting to help, but not having any kind of path, that stuff started converging and starting to make sense. And it was just like, my brain was just, you know, things were crawling together and joining forces. And I was like, this could work for music.
Yeah.
This is not only for e-commerce, but for music. So, and I could, maybe it could be both. Maybe I could figure out a way to be both. So long story, even longer, January of 21, once I did a little bit of research, I was like, all right, I need to just do something. So I started the Lightning store, and I started the Lightning Music Store, which was like a mock-up Bandcamp thing that just had my music on it. And I, through some help of Mark Goodwin, I don't know if you've ever had him on the show, but I kind of got to know him a little bit.
Yeah, he was on when Mark was the host previously. Mark Stefani, the other Mark.
I thought he was on here. Yeah, so Mark Goodwin's great, great dude. We sort of learned how to do a lot of this stuff together, I think.
Back editor then, in chief of Bitcoin Magazine, for those that are like, is that the same?
Yeah, he's come a long way.
In the last,
we both have. But, he had uploaded a podcast or something through, figured out how to do, upload his podcast through Anchor and then get it connected into the podcast 2.0 stuff, and helped me through that. So I wrote up a guide on how to do that as well as like a supplemental. And so I had this Lightning store, Lightning Music store, and then I got some music up on RSS, and then I just threw it all out into the world. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I have literally no idea what I'm doing. That's what my guide was called. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like a guide to setting up a node and getting music on RSS. Yeah. And I just started putting stuff out there. And the Lightning store is all the shirts are, like mentioned, the Nirvana shirt. Everything's kind of just like a knockoff of some music thing. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of that was to find the people in the Bitcoin space that liked music. And I mean, everybody likes music, but people who like obscure enough music. I mean, Nirvana is not very obscure, but that shirt came a little bit later. But in the early
Nirvana,
days,
Nirvana, little like, band. I'm not sure if you've heard of them.
Yeah, but in the early days, it was like the Misfits and Descendants and Minor Threat and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was cool. I found a bunch of people and started getting a little bit of traction on that idea. And people started reaching out, and they're like, hey, who are you? What are you trying to do here? Who can I connect you with? And I just started getting really connected with people early on in the Lightning space. And I feel like within a year I met everybody, and I was just talking to everybody, and these ideas were starting to kind of come to life a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I feel like there's maybe more, someone should jump in here probably besides me, cause there's more to this story.
Well, what's funny is some of my favorite story. What's funny is like, and I've said it on here a million times, but I didn't get into Bitcoin until like March of 2021. And you know what's funny? I was thinking about it this past week. I don't think I've said this before, but I think everyone should share their embarrassing stories of like how they found out about Bitcoin. Like I've mentioned before, I think I had like Ethereum or something for 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
I immediately sold it. Like So there's that. But
yeah,
for me, the first time I actually heard about Bitcoin and looked into it was, I think it was like fucking Logan Paul or something. It was some like,
is that the like Instagram boxer dude?
Yes. Well, now I guess, but he was like, so I saw like an Instagram reel and I saw him talking about it. And that for me, I was like, oh, that guy's like a crypto bro. Like, oh, the douchebag, like the guy who does like viral videos, like YouTube, like, whoa, right, like to the moon, like that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. He was like a YouTuber guy first, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I guess it's not like embarrassing, but that was the first time I remember hearing about it. And then for some reason I like looked into it more though, but it was like, that was when I heard it talk about, cause I think there was some crazy price action, whatever.
Yeah.
So all of
I think everybody has it. I think everyone has some kind of shitcoin story.
Yeah. For sure.
Maybe there's a few that, you know, precious peer people that got through somehow without it. But I think a lot of people who, cause I mean, that was my thing, you know, it's just like, I felt like I missed out. Like I did something wrong by not doing more. Cause I actually had even, you know, like I had sort of been made aware of it even prior to 2014 when I started accepting it. My friend, Mike Jarmuz, if people might know him, goes by Muzz. He's around, he's been around forever in this space. He had a Bitcoin ATM at his bar in New York. And like, I would go hang out there and he'd tell me all about this stuff. And I had opportunities to buy it at a dollar, you know, after talking to him, and I should have, but it was sketchy, you know, but in hindsight, I wasn't ready for it. And I think that's a thing that a lot of people say is, you know, Bitcoin kind of finds you when it's ready to find you, when you're ready for it. You have to in a lot of ways, it's good to go through those things, to make those mistakes, to know kind of how to proceed moving forward. And ultimately, I think people end up in the right place. You know, eventually they come around and realize it's the better path.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, also some of my favorite Bitcoin stories are like, cause I was trying to think about like, even when I like purchased this shirt, I'm trying to think back of like, when did I hear about the Lightning Store? How it just kind of has slowly creeped into the culture of the people that are in Bitcoin that like to have fun. And I'm not here to talk, not like the ordinal stuff, whatever. That's like a separate conversation. The like, oh, make Bitcoin fun. Like, no, the people that are like, kind of like, there's several of us, I think, in Bitcoin. Like, I'm super into like music, indie music, rock, like all of this stuff. There's such a punk rock element to Bitcoin. There's a lot of people that are like really vibing with Lightning Store, just fun, wacky stuff, meme culture, like all of this that fits really well with counterculture movements, with punk rock, with music in general. So I'm trying to think of like, when did I go on the Lightning Store? But I think it was just when I came up in 2021, it was already kind of seeped into the culture of Bitcoin that I liked. And I think that's so cool. It's not like a, you know, I don't know, this website that was just advertised everywhere or something like that. Or like, it's just kind of like, oh, cool shirt. Like that type of, and to go 30,000 foot more, it's kind of like that type of Bitcoin adoption, if you were to make that metaphor, is super cool to me. It's like steeping it into the culture is just amazing.
Yeah. And that's all I really knew how to do at that point, you know, other than just like, I'm a creative person. I'm a entrepreneur. I hate saying that word, but I guess I am, you know,
right.
It's like, I have that type, I have that spirit and drive and motivation. So, that's all I really knew how to do, you know? And I think I was like looking around and being like, wow, there's a lot of really ugly Bitcoin t-shirts.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No offense, but it's just like, it's just, everything just was like the orange logo on everything. Like, you know? So, that was part of it too, is like, not everybody wants to, I mean, I think somebody said once, like, would you walk around with a shirt that just had a dollar bill on it? You know, it's like kind of or like the dollar symbol. And it's like, maybe some people would, but it is kind of weird. So that was sort of the idea. Yeah. And I have some shirts that just straight up say Bitcoin, but most of them are a little more like under the radar, which I think is a cool element too, because people see it and they're just like, what? Like at the Super Bowl, I'm sure everybody's like, what's like Satoshi? What's that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, or they see like,
what does that shirt say?
Yeah.
It's like, what does that shirt say? That's like a Nirvana shirt, but is that like a different language or something? Like, people, I think that's what's kind of cool about it, because they're like conversation starters, you know, in a lot of ways. And depending on who you're talking to or trying to, whoever's wearing it, I think it's been cool. I mean, people have told me that like, this is the best shirt for getting people to start talking to people about Bitcoin, because they ask me what it is, and then I tell them, and they get intrigued. Like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Why is it like a minor threat shirt? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal? And then they can tell, give them the punk rock spiel on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been obsessed with it for a long time. And well, I want to get to this part too, because you already mentioned it. I want to make sure we don't get away from it. So you started this thought of like, it sounded like there was a moment for you with Bitcoin that was like, okay, streaming to musicians. Okay. For creatives, this like lightning sats, a lot of the zapping we see on Noster today. I mean, even just taking a step back, that's wild to think about it. So kind of, you don't have to go like super in detail on the journey, whatever you want to, but going from that to now this like beautiful, no offense, but like Spotify lookalike app, like this very legitimate like platform for musicians to, I mean, a bit in the podcasting 2.0, I'm sure there's many other language things that you associate with it, but just earning sats, paying, in a peer-to-peer way with musicians through Wavelake. I'd love to hear that journey, because I think the same thing for me, like just probably more on Noster, but just one day it seemed like Wavelake just slowly appeared. So because I'm even trying to think back, when did I first hear about that? It's kind of the same thing for me with Lightning Store as Wavelake.
Yeah, Wavelake's had a bit of a journey, and it all connects back to this story in a very serendipitous way, which is a word that we use often when we're talking about it, because mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had, like I said, I was just putting all this stuff out there, and I didn't even really know what I was asking anyone to do. I just knew that you could stream podcasts, and I knew that a couple people had Lightning enabled their podcast, and they were, so once I got my music up there, that stuff started getting passed around, and people were psyched on it and saying like, yeah, this is cool, somebody build this, but nobody did. And it was weird. It was like, mm-hmm. After like a year, I was like, what's going on? Like, everyone seems so pumped on music and like bringing some other stuff into this, like other culture into this universe, you know? Cause it's like, we can't keep talking about just Bitcoin and keep talking about wallets and mining and stuff. That stuff's all great and essential, mm-hmm. but it's like, we get it, you know. It's like,
yeah, boring after a while.
Yeah,
right?
It's like we need some other stuff, and I think that's why, yeah, I've sort of had the, you know, organic growth that I've had, because people are just excited to see other stuff. Like, mm-hmm. when I brought, yeah, some of my other projects into Noster and stuff, now two people are like, "Oh, thank God, a podcast about music that's not just about like,
yes,
yeah, you know,
just about Bitcoin or just,
yeah." Yeah, it's, yeah, like, yeah, I listen to like 10 Bitcoin podcasts. This is one of them, you know. But
yeah,
it is nice and refreshing now to know that we can start branching out a little bit. So anyway, yep, I'd put that stuff out there, and Michael, who's a co-founder at Wavelake, saw it, and he was like, I'm going to build this, like what this dude is talking about. I'm just going to do it. So he built what we now call Wavelake Alpha. It's kind of the early conceptual version of what Wavelake could be. And that actually was around for about a year in that form.
Yeah.
I think he got about, you know, it looked very different functionally. It was very different. It was more of, mm-hmm, like a paywall type thing. Like, it, you know, like you could listen to something 10 times or whatever, and then you have, got to it, pay some sats, and you would unlock 99 more plays, or okay. I forget exactly how it was, but it just wasn't, it also, like, it was very, like you had to connect it to a node specifically, mm-hmm, because, you know, Lightning addresses weren't very prevalent. That, yeah, he didn't want to be a custodian of people's funds,
right?
With that at that level. So he built this thing, and I was like one of the first, if not the first artist. As soon as I found out about it, I was like, mm-hmm, this is it. I got to talk to this guy. Like, finally, thank God somebody's like making this thing I've been screaming about for the last year or whatever. And I just got to know him a little bit, you know. Like, at that time I was working with a couple dudes to try to help raise money for really small, super early Lightning companies. And so, mm-hmm, I got them to talk to him. I'm just like, this is really cool. Like, let's get this guy some money. And it just wasn't ready. And not a lot of people used it, unfortunately. It just wasn't, yeah, it didn't have what it needed to have. It was a really cool idea. It just wasn't executed 100%. But it was exactly what needed to happen, which was just somebody needed to start somewhere. Somebody needed, mm-hmm, to do and not just talk about it, you know? So I was thrilled, and I randomly bumped into him when he first started at the Bitcoin conference in 21. And just by circumstance, he was on the, in the same row as me, and he thought I was somebody else. And then we realized who we were mm-hmm. and started chatting a little bit and emailing back and forth. And then fast forward like a year later at the next one in 2022, I saw him there again, and I was like, hey, what's good? What's up with Wavelake? How's everything going? I haven't seen like a lot of news. And he's like, well, I got to go get a job. I think it might be over. You know, like,
so sad. The Bitcoiners that are like, oh fuck, I got to get a job.
Yeah. He's like, I gave it a year and I did my best, and it just didn't really catch on like I thought it might. And so, I was like, please don't stop. Like, when we get mm-hmm. back, let's get on a phone call, and like, I'll see if I can help more. Like, I'll just more, I don't want to see this die. I will like aggressively try to help you.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did, you know, for whenever that was, I forget. It took maybe about 4 or 5 months, and things just evolved. And there was a moment where I had this epiphany, and I was like, oh, Wavelake needs to be not just, it can't be a player. Mm-hmm. It needs to be distribution. Because when I thought back to how all this stuff worked, the reason I had to have this guide is because it was so hard. The mm-hmm. reason everything in Bitcoin kind of sucked for a long time is because it was just really hard to use.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, because, you know, it's very, you have to stumble through all these things to figure mm-hmm. out the right path. And so Wavelake had to go through that too, but I just had this thought, and like, man, it would be so cool if there was a place that was just as easy as like a DistroKid to get your mm-hmm. music uploaded. And then and then where does it go? It can go to RSS just like these podcasts do.
Yep.
But these RSS players and podcast players aren't really equipped to handle music yet. So
yeah,
maybe there should be a site too that resembles like it's a showcase still, mm-hmm. you know. That's really how we think of all of our products at this point outside of the studio, is like, these are just showcases of how things should be. So he was like, man, I think you just changed the course of this business.
Yeah.
Do you maybe want to partner up on it to like make this make it happen? And I was a little worried, because I didn't know how much time I would have to do it, to mm-hmm. be honest. I was like, I just didn't want to overpromise to him and let him down if I wasn't able to commit enough time. So I was like, why don't I just try for three months or something, and mm-hmm. let's see how this goes. Let's see if I can actually help you. Let's see if this idea can materialize without making any kind of thing. And another long story short, if everyone's still awake, there was just this point where it's just like, this, we're on the same page. This makes sense. This is happening. Let's partner up. Let's start over. Yeah. Let's rebrand this thing. Let's get it going. So we just relaunched it with a completely new product and a completely new branding and new way of thinking in January of 23 of last year. So
yeah. This episode of The Progressive Bitcoiner is brought to you by Zeus. Zeus is a self-custodial Bitcoin wallet for Android and iOS. The app features a built-in Lightning node that allows you to take full control of how you make payments on-chain and on Lightning. You can easily onboard to the Lightning network and let Zeus's Lightning service provider, Olympus, do all the heavy lifting for you. Or you can get more hands-on and curate your own Lightning channels with whoever you transact with most. Zeus has best-in-class privacy and allows you to have great peace of mind when sending and receiving Lightning payments. Not only does the Zeus team not want to know how you're using your money, but they're building things in a way that they can't know. There's also a first of its kind Lightning address that will allow you to receive payments 24/7 to your mobile wallet self-custodially. This is a great solution for a range of people. For those who just want to have the technical ability to set up their own infrastructure, to nomads and dissidents that need to accept donations on the move. Other Lightning wallets don't give the users this level of control. In fact, many of them operate more like bank accounts that can be revoked and ultimately lead to you losing your money. With Zeus, you're in full control of your private keys and therefore can start to take full control of your financial destiny. Save 5% on LSP fees using code TPB in the access code under LSP settings. To learn more and to learn where to download, head to ZeusLN.com. Yeah, I mean, it looks fantastic. I mean, just as an app, it's one of those things that there are kind of different stories. Like, I mean, Lightning Store is one. Like, oh, like, to my friends who know nothing about Bitcoin, look at these cool shirts, you know, whatever. Same thing with this app. I'm like, this is a legitimate, like, good product for normies, as weird as that is to say, because there's all these toys and tinkering things and all these cool stuff that once you get into Bitcoin, it's cool to play with. Like, I love playing with different things all the time, But opening up Wavelake and just experiencing it, like the UX and the concept and just what it's unlocking, I'm like, oh, this is another way to like onboard people. But I'm also like, I don't even care. It's not about like onboarding people to Bitcoin. I'm like, this is just great for like creatives, because for a very long time, and I'm sure you've been thinking of these conversations, because I'm not a musician, but I have many friends that are in the music scene and have done a lot of these things. You know, the industry is just really shit. So more ways to support creatives, just seeing this, I'm sure the potential, like you said, it was just exploding in terms of what it could be, what it is already, and what I can imagine it will be in 5-10 years from now.
Yeah. And that was the idea for the mobile app. And we weren't even going to, I always wanted a mobile app, but we started just on the desktop for the first year. But yeah, in August, I mean, I've told this story so many times now, but in July, I met this guy, Jim Costello. Shout out to Jim and the Costello family. But his daughter, Ainsley, is a I don't want to say struggling musician, but like just kind of trying to break through, like that early stage. She's 19. She's trying to break through. They live in Nashville, and she's been working really hard for a number of years to try to make something happen. And she's absurdly talented, like unbelievably talented, amazing songwriter, amazing musician and vocalist. And you know, he's like, hey, my daughter, I met him at Bitcoin Park, and he's like, maybe you guys are doing a demo tomorrow. Maybe my daughter and wife will come and check this thing out. It sounds intriguing. And they did. And she uploaded this song, Cherry on Top, and it just like exploded. Mm-hmm. And the first question is, this is really cool. Where do I send my fans? And we were like, that's a really wonderful
question.
Yeah. You can send them to Wavelake. You have an artist profile there, but there's no way for them to get Bitcoin. There's no way for them to interact with it in a way that they're probably, I mean, almost everybody's on mobile. So it's like, who's going to go to a desktop, you know, open up their laptop? And they probably don't even have one, you know, first of all, or like log into this thing. So it was pretty clear. It's like, yeah, we need a place. We need another showcase. So we'll build this app. And right around that time, I finally convinced Michael to like really jump in deep into the Nostr stuff as well. Because it just solved a lot of our future problems, like things we were sort of just thinking about hypothetically. Now, because of Nostr, we're like, oh, we can actually do a lot of these things way faster than I think we realized it.
Yeah.
Because we launched in January, and then in, you know, 2 weeks before that, Jack posted about Nostr on Twitter, and everybody hopped on there.
Yeah.
And it grew so fast, and it has a lot of potential. So the cool thing about our mobile app is it's, you know, Nostr stands for notes and other stuff transmitted by relays, and the Wavelake mobile app is the other stuff. So it is actually a Nostr client, which if you know what Nostr is, you can tell, because you might recognize some of the verbiage in the on the beta, but it won't when it goes out to the but when it goes out to the public, it's just going to be like an account, you know. No one will have to know that. So it's going to be a good onboarding tool for Bitcoin, for artists who need to be able to make money, but also it's a really wonderful onboarding to Nostr as well. So everyone that downloads and uses Wavelake will be operating on a Nostr client.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, you know, artists that are, I mean, I can kind of know this peripherally, but you being artists, like for a while now, it's like, okay, an artist, like they start making music, they want to put some music together. I know a friend of mine who does like, you know, tours locally and stuff like that. He's able to put in pay to have his music on Spotify, you know, put up something on Bandcamp, SoundCloud, things like that. Okay, well, you know, we know we've been in this newer generation for a while where you don't have to go through executives and studios and go to your local like radio, whatever, to record for the radio and try to hit it on, you know, your local station, things like that.
Yeah.
For an artist to get on Wavelake, you know, what does that process look like? What are some of the benefits and features for artists that make music?
Right now it's much easier for the artists than it is for their fans, because and that was stage one. It's like, let's just have I want the back end of this to feel like every other distribution platform they've ever used. If they're an independent artist, they have used one, you know. So that was the first goal, and then get them a wallet. Which we are working on making that even better. We're working on making this the studio even better, which is happening here very shortly. But That was the main goal. It's just like, I want people to upload music and be able to just start earning Bitcoin immediately, like within seconds. And I want to be able to say that to people and have it actually be true.
Yeah.
So it's really super simple. Like if you have a friend who knows nothing about Bitcoin, you can say, hey, just go upload this track on this, go to wavelake.com, create an account, click on studio, click on the button that says upload and walk through it. It'll take 2 minutes. It's easy. Just put one song up there and try it. There's no friction for them whatsoever. Yeah. It's incredible. It's actually even easier than like TuneCore or something, because it's just so simple still at this point. There's not a lot of bells and whistles. It's just very straightforward. And we sort of let the community do the rest of the work now, you know, like through discovery. There's still really good music discovery on there because there's 500 and something artists, 530 artists or something right now.
Okay.
So it's still really easy to find music. Our top 40 is still, you know, changes around a lot. So every day you go there, it can look very different. And we still feature every single track that gets uploaded. So, you know, your friend who has no exposure to Bitcoin whatsoever now might have a track on Wavelake, took a minute and a half to do. And if the right person posts that or it gets featured, someone finds it on one of these music shows that are coming out, Bitcoin will just start coming in. You know, now they have Bitcoin. Now they don't, you know, it's like in Ainsley's case, I mean, she's made like thousands of dollars now, you know, and it's like she hasn't even remotely close to what she has in her entire career on all these different platforms, you know? So, it's starting, you know, for those types of people, it's turning their head a little bit. They're like, wait, what happened? I uploaded this track and I'm actually getting something, you know, like, and not only in America, but I know you talk about this a lot. Like people need to think, a lot of people think that this is just an American thing for some reason, but it's actually much more important to people on a global scale, especially people who don't have access to banks, don't have access to those types of things that we take for granted here living in this country. But even a lot of people in this country don't have access to those things. But, you know, there's a dude in Tanzania, Africa, a man like Quex, who is like, you know, paying his water bill with the money that's coming in. And like, he's building a proof of work academy strictly funded by this value for value model, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And it's incredible to see. And like, he got his nephew on board, and I've seen videos of people talking about this in other countries about how this is cool. You make music, you can start making money, you know, real money right away, you know, and it's kind of an incredible thought. You don't have to wait months, and your music can actually be heard too, which is so awesome. You know, I've discovered so many awesome musicians, and I've become friends with so many people now at this point. I mean, I did a second track with Man Like Quex on a collaboration that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool that there's this vibrant community that's happening now. That's like this other, you know, these other little bubbles are starting to pop up in this world where it's not just about the tech and it's not just about, you know, the nerdy stuff. And it's starting to spill over into the culture, and which is why we named our thing Culture Shock that we did this weekend in Phoenix. We want to start putting that message out there. And when you have something like Noster now that brings the social element to it and connects those two together, it really makes a lot of sense. And it opens up a lot of doors to get those normal people in and start using these things in a very easy and efficient way. And then when more doors start opening, I think that's when it's really going to click for people, when that artist can build up a following on Wavelake, and then the YouTube equivalent pops up and they sign in with their NPub that they didn't, or with their account, you know, that they didn't even know was an NPub. They sign in with their Wavelake account that they think is a Wavelake account, and their entire following is there with them,
still there,
you know, and the money still comes in the same way. Or when somebody features their track in a podcast and they go, you know, they do everything accordingly, money starts rolling in from a podcast. It's like, oh my God, this dude's featuring my music, you know, and now I'm making money in all these other outlets. So the wide distribution, the net of distribution now is so incredible, and it's just getting bigger. I mean, we had the opportunities to distribute music and insert music into anything are virtually unlimited. That's what we're really excited about, because that's the main difference between the first idea and this idea that we're on now, is that we're to not sound totally insane, I'm sure I do, but we're trying to build a new infrastructure for music. And that's what needs to happen, because in the past, all these new things, we've just figured out how to squeeze old things into new technology. It kind of needs a fresh start, you know, and that's what Bitcoin is doing for money. And that's what all these ancillary things are going to need to do as well. You know, it's like, let's start over, start from scratch. We have the tools that we need now and we know they work. So let's prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm much more convicted these days about like the parallel systems. It's not really a theory, but I'll call it a theory. Like Bitcoin is like, okay, build this better parallel system and people who need it will come and we'll use it. And there's ways we can, you know, increase that timeline, I'd say. Same thing with Noster and the things you're describing, like building these tools so that someone in Tanzania can use it and have access to it. Like if someone in the US who is in a super, super privileged spot wants to shit on it for whatever reason, fine. Like that, you don't have to use it. Like, I don't care. But the fact that it exists, people are using it, like you're already like changing the course of how musicians and creatives are able to access it. Even if it's, you mentioned 500 something artists, like it exists today. Like the tools are here today. It's just a matter of like increasing those that know about it and using it, and the tools will continue to increase. But it's just, these parallel systems we're building are just insanely good already. And I think even I take that for granted sometimes, because I think a lot of folks in Bitcoin or wherever else, and myself included, can sometimes be like, oh, it's not there yet. It's not good enough, this and that. But thinking Bitcoin is 15 years old, Noster is like 2 years old, 2.5 years old, maybe like at this point, like it's crazy. And all of these people are doing this shit for free, or like most people are working full-time jobs or like scraping by. Like people are just doing this stuff because they're so passionate, and it is such a cool thing to be a part of or to witness.
Yeah. We're at the doorstep of a new cycle, you know, and we all know what happens when that comes around. The aunts and uncles and neighbors and friends start text messaging you and seeing what's going on. And it's going to be really cool, because the last, you know, 3 years, 4 years, people have been just building stuff like crazy, you know, like building so many cool things that have enabled all these things. And we've spent the last few years testing everything and working out all the bugs and making sure that wallets have liquidity and there's solutions. If there's solutions to get onboarded for that, if you have a new business idea, you can get liquidity through something like Amboss or any of these other services that exist. And there's, you know, some good like Zeus has done so much work. I know you just talked to Evan, right? I haven't listened to that episode yet, but
So Zeus just started. We're gonna have Evan on as well on the team, but Zeus started sponsoring us now, which is great. And they've been around doing such incredible work for so long. Yeah, that product is amazing.
It is. I mean, I just used it this weekend at the POS, and I know that that's happening at PubKey. You know, it's like just such a cool idea. So, the point is, there's just so much has been built that when the normies start kind of flooding in again this time around, I think the focus, at least I hope, and you know, maybe it'll take another cycle to really get there, but the focus will be less about the price. It's going to be about the price, but but when you can show them the products as well, you know, and how those run in parallel with the value that it brings, I think it's going to be a really interesting few years, especially the way that the economy's heading and globally, you know. And I think this is going to connect a lot of dots for a lot of people, and it's gonna we're gonna see a big flood of, I mean, because every time there's a cycle, you see a flood of people that come in. It's like, I came in 2017, I came in 21, I came in 2025, you know. That's what it's gonna be. It's like every cycle you get these new the new class, you know, for the next generation. And I'm just really excited to see how this stuff how the stuff that these builders have been building starts getting used in real time by some of these people, you know, instead of, I just don't know what else there is, you know. It's like, we've been through the exchange stuff and the trading and the DeFi and mm-hmm. the NFTs, and all that stuff is kind of established. So I think I'm just hoping that these retail products, like normal day-to-day everyday use yeah. products, are going to be the focus in this next run.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. They're super cool and fun. And if, not that this is the point of any of this, but also if then the market or people that are actually willing to invest in these things, if these products that are bootstrapped, let's be honest, with a few $1,000 or a few $100, whatever, but people donating sats, they actually start to get some real money, where people are like Noster's a good example, right? There's several of us in Noster have been saying it forever, and Domus recently just added like a subscription service, right? That's still like relatively cheap. I think it was like $60 per year paid in sats, something like that. Like
yeah.
subscription models, but also people that are willing to invest and help build in those business. If some of these companies start getting like real money, you know, not that that's the focus. Wow. It's like, if we've already been able to build what we have today, I can't imagine once the bull run really comes in, like it's going to be wild.
Yeah, all these businesses need support, and the level of yeah. support that they need is growing, because yeah. yeah, it's to be able to, if anybody wants this stuff to scale, you have to realize what that takes, you know. And a lot of these ideas are proven ideas historically, mm-hmm. but the technology now sort of reinventing those ideas is not, you know, and the user base is not there. We don't have hundreds and hundreds of millions of people ready to jump on Wavelake, you know. It's just yeah. not feasible, but like right. you could expect millions, you know, if we're talking to investors for Wavelake that have no, you know, not no exposure to Bitcoin really, they're expecting us to say that we have tens of thousands of artists, not 500 mm-hmm. artists. We're proud yeah. of, we're like incredibly proud of 500 artists. We think that's crazy, because
yeah
we've done very little marketing outside of just posting on socials and stuff. It's all yeah. just word of mouth, you know. It's not, we don't have a marketing budget, you know. So it's incredible to us, but that's because that's the world that those people are used to in the tech world, and it's starting from the .com mm-hmm. bubble into where we're in now. It's like, and the, you know, an app store app, you would expect to have millions of users. That would be yeah. probably like a million users would be like a baseline level of success.
Yeah.
It's like, we're happy with thousands right now.
Right.
But that's because there's millions of people that even have the exposure to know that we exist, or would even have the ability to even utilize the service to its fullest potential mm-hmm. until we build that stuff, which is coming very soon. So yeah, we're just basically like prepping right now for when that light switch turns on and those people come flooding in, because we want to be ready. We want it to be, you know, you only get one shot, maybe a couple, you know, maybe if yeah. you're lucky, we'll get kind of two chances to make this work when these people come flocking in or hear about it. And you want it to be a good experience from the start, or else they'll leap.
Yeah. Well, I can say, as someone who just used, you know, I checked out the website before, but once the app came about, I was like, really impressed already right out of the gate. So I think it's like, because I, you know, a lot of us have used a lot of like Noster and Bitcoin products, and some of us, you know, I'm not in any way designer creative like that, but I really care about that, because I care a lot about like, what would my friends that aren't like techie or into Bitcoin, which is like all of my friends, think of this? Would they use it? Would they see? So whenever I see good UX or something that's just like, oh, that seems to be one of the central focal points, and that's what I feel and see with Wavelake, and I get super excited about products like that. And talking with people that are focused on that design, because it's not about design or cool or pretty things. It's about like people being able to use and access this. And if we're building products that people can't use or access, then kind of what is the point? You know, no matter how good that backend is.
Yeah, it's tough to balance that, because when you're working so fast, and right now, like if you went to the desktop version, you know, just to throw a little shade at my own business, but if you go to the desktop version, just because we're trying out so many different things, like sometimes it's hard to unify those things. Like the mobile app is a very different experience than the desktop app. It's like kind of the same, but technically mm-hmm. it's not the same at all. Like you know, the mobile app's a Nostr client, the desktop isn't. And it functions just kind of more traditionally how it did when we started. So, you know, it's, I think that's why it's cool to be in the place we are right now and have these people using it right now, is like, we can get that feedback with a crew of people that are going to be a little bit more forgiving, and also just give us the feedback. Like, okay, cool. You think the mobile app looks great and it's easy to use. That's awesome. So maybe we should probably stay down that path and try to unify that more on the desktop side and for the studio side, because we want to make sure, you know, we're taking those cues from the people that are trying stuff, and we love to hear from the artists. That's been so helpful too. You know, it's like, what do you guys need? We have a lot of ideas and we have a very small team. So it's very helpful to get that information in real time from them. Like, this is the most important thing for us right now. So then we know how to prioritize the stuff, because the list of what we need to do is a mile long, you know?
Mm. What do you think, to get a bit more philosophical with this, because obviously people are coming onto the platform, you know, it's not connected with Venmo. It's not connected with PayPal. Like, the artists are collecting and streaming and all of this eventual stuff to come. Sats. So they're either directly, they already know about Bitcoin, or they're learning about Bitcoin. What is that? You know, do you know what that has been like for some of the artists? Like, how many of the artists, I'm sure you don't have like raw data on this, but are coming in and not knowing about Bitcoin and being like, oh, cool. How many of them might be seeing this and be like, Bitcoin, isn't that kind of sketchy? I don't know about that. Like, what is that? Like, I just want money. Like, what is that? So how has that been for you all, thinking about this as a, obviously a revenue stream for artists and creatives, but to interact and talk about Bitcoin in this process with artists?
Yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of normie artists, and I haven't had that conversation with any of them yet because it's not ready for them yet. You know, I wouldn't want to send them there at this moment in time, because it's not going to be impressive for them. You still are fighting the narrative that you guys talk about all the time on here, you know, like environmental concerns and all kinds of other stuff. It's the shadowy money that no one knows anything about. And even friends that know me and know where my convictions lie and know and trust me, you know, and trust my judgment, they're even still like, I'll have conversations with people and you catch a little distance. You're like, all right, this person's asking some questions, but maybe not totally coming around yet. You know, so we don't want to push anything. We want, like I said, you know, earlier, people kind of have to find Bitcoin when they find it. It's really hard to do that. But we have had people that are like, you know, I'll try it out. My brother told me about this. I don't know anything about it, but I trust my brother. So maybe I'll try it. You know, I'll throw it up there. And I think that we have two big things that we still have to solve, which is, one is like, if somebody who's not a Bitcoiner, we don't want them to even have to be, you know, we're not expecting anyone to learn how Bitcoin works. It's such a weird ask of people to have.
What is your opinion on the Fed? Do you want to separate money from the state? And like, I just want to upload my song, dude.
Yeah, I think Michael said it on our talk the other day at Culture Shock. He was like, you don't sign up for an email address and have to learn how that works, how SMTP works. Or, you know, it's like you just don't. No one has to know how HTTPS works to be able to get on a website. You just type something in. And that's what we want to do, but they will have to get money off, you know? So that is one of the hurdles. So that's one major thing we're going to have to do, is figure out, okay, cool. Let's say an artist gets a bunch of money, handful of money, or you're in Tanzania and you want to pay your water bill and you don't have a Bitcoin wallet. Yeah. How do you do that? So we have to really work on the education there. We have to really make sure we have some good off-ramp stuff. You know, Strike is really cool. That's probably, we're going to send some people in a lot of places. Doesn't work everywhere. Cash App is incredible, I think, for the US. Like, I think they have 10 million users or something. Maybe it's even more than that.
Because then you got to separate the Bitcoin users from the, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
But at least they have Cash App holders.
Yeah, at least they're familiar with it. So you can
account.
It's like, do you have Cash App? Okay, cool. Well, the good news is you can at least get it there.
Yeah.
Then we can help you, but it just, you know, it's, you're one step closer. And then the other major thing is just getting Bitcoin in the hands of the fans,
first, you know, not expecting if this person who has no exposure to Bitcoin takes a chance and uploads a track or thinks they're taking a chance, you really have nothing to lose, you know, but they try it out and then they're like, hey, I just uploaded my music here. You should go check this out. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but whatever. Check out this Wavelake thing. They don't, how do they support if they don't have the ability, if they don't have Bitcoin themselves, which they probably won't. So how does like a 16-year-old kid who just wants to listen to this music and support this artist actually do that? So we have some really cool ideas on how to do that with the mobile app, where it's like, if you download it, well, you know, a couple basic little tutorial steps will ultimately land you some sats and you can start. Cause it, what we have noticed with Noster, especially, once you see it happen once or twice, it doesn't, you get kind of hooked in, you get that little bit of a like curiosity factor sets in and you're like, this is actually cool. I've never experienced something like this. I've never been paid for a picture of, you know, my coffee before. I've never been able to put money directly into this guy's wallet, this artist that I really like. And he just thanked me, you know, and gave me some of that money back. And that's a, kind of a crazy exchange. So we want to make sure that we have just enough to get them started to see it, and then some better education, of course. And hopefully by the time these things really start going mainstream, there's just more, it just exists. You know, it's like, you don't know how Apple Pay works. You don't know how Venmo works. It's all very similar, actually. It's just that the rails that it's connected to are historic or old, broken kind of old systems. But the functionality will be very, I mean, everyone knows how to pay for stuff with their phones now. So we have this really fortunate thing that, like, cool. The old system sort of laid the groundwork for teaching people how to use, you know, how to ride the subway with a tap of your phone. So that's really cool, because that's what we're going to be using too. And then we won't have to teach anybody that stuff. So I'm not too super worried about it. I'm worried about it right now as far as education and getting both sides connected. But I do think ultimately once Bitcoin gets traction, once people start to realize it's just a better system and it's a cheaper system to operate, and and vendors can you know, keep more of their margin on stuff, I think it's going to, we'll start seeing it populate fast. I mean, that's how technology usually works. If you have a better idea, it gets implemented really quick.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bitbox. Now, Bitbox is a hardware wallet that's open source, incredibly secure and easy to use, and it's what I'm using to safely secure my Bitcoin in cold storage. Now, I know self-custodying Bitcoin can really be intimidating, but Bitbox is designed for ease of use without compromising on security. It's USB-C compatible and allows you to easily back up and restore your private keys with a micro SD card, which is really cool. Now, you can purchase the Bitbox using the promo code TPB at the link found in the show notes for 5% off your purchase. And I really want to thank Bitbox for their support of the podcast, and I'm really excited about this new partnership. All right, I'll let you get back to the episode now.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned Tanzania, because there's all of these, like, you'll see viral videos, right? Whether it's on like Instagram, TikTok, whatever, of like musicians, or just like even musicians in Africa. And they'll see like the little, there's like a, maybe a physical like PayPal banner behind them or something, to where they're like, send your money. And obviously me, I mean, even street performers in my city or whatever, I'm like, man, wish they had a QR code that I could just like scan. Or some of them do, like a Venmo, right? And it's like, listen, that's not me to go up to them and like then like preach to them. Like, I'm a former evangelical kid. Like, I'm just very against the whole preaching and pushing things on them. But I'm like, the last thing I'm gonna do is be like, you need to get a Bitcoin address right now and tell that to someone, right? But thinking about how your app is built on like this decentralized protocol with this decentralized permissionless money, and someone on the other side might never know that. That would be the point. That's insane, because everything else is a, and I'm not one of those doomsdayers, everything else is just a rug pull away in terms of like, okay, you have to have this bank account, this. And obviously we talk about like Bitcoin being punk rock, like what Bitcoin is to people. Well, there've been a lot of people that have been treated really, really poorly by the banking system. And I'm sure there's quite a few creatives and musicians that have experienced that, or they don't have a certain credit score, or they don't have all of these things to open a bank account, or they're between homes, they don't have a physical address. Like, there's all of these things. So the obviously, you and I could talk about this all day, right? It's like, what in your mind, like how can we best and most effectively communicate that to people, because I feel like the creative space and musicians, especially musicians that are really down on their luck, like you were talking about, like struggling musicians, this is like case one for them. It would be something like this. Like, what is the best way to communicate this to them?
That's a really good question, because it's difficult to answer. I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, like I've been working on my pitch to friends and family, you know, since Wavelake really got started. And I've tried some things, and you start to see their eyes kind of like look behind you, and you're like, oh, they're drifting. I'm losing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm getting too technical. You know,
you're like, oh shit, I'm into it way more than they are.
Yeah. And then during, you know, I think it was Christmas, like a Christmas party or something, I was talking to my cousin's husband. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm in a startup thing. You know, what's up? You know, what's going on? I heard you're working on a new thing. We were talking about it, and I was like, I'm going to try a different approach with cousin's husband and see where it takes me.
That's such a specific, funny example. And you haven't described anything about him, but I feel like I had a similar experience. Or they'll be like, okay, my wife's friend's husband, or like something like that, where they're like, huh. Finance.
It's always okay. Something. Like, I have a huge family, so it's always something like that. You know, it's like it's a cousin or one of my cousin's husbands or one of my cousin's kids or something. You know, it's like it's there's just so many cousins, but the approach there was just like very simple. It was more on the distribution side, and I think that's what seems to be clicking for most people, is that I just showed them. I like pulled out. I had Fountain open and I had Wavelake open, mm-hmm. and I pulled up one of my tracks in the studio product, the distribution product. And I said, all right, look, here's my activity feed. Now I'm going to go pull up this music podcast. And I'm like, skip through here. Okay. Here's my song that I just showed you. And I'm going to send myself a thousand sats. So I did it. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to my activity feed and I'm like, see it? There it is right there. It says, you know, Phantom Power Music Hour paid you from, you know, Lightning Store paid you 1,000 sats from Phantom Power Music Hour. And he was like, wow, that's super cool. I was like, all right, now here's Wavelake. And I went to Wavelake and I opened it up and it's like, all right, here's that same song, 1,000 sats. Went back to my activity feed, showed him that. And he's like, oh man, that's awesome. And then I went in, I opened Primal. I was like, here's a social client. I went to the Wavelake relay feed, which you can follow, and has every track that gets uploaded to Wavelake, mm-hmm. and it just shows a bunch of embeddable tracks. And I zapped
it. I don't think I knew that. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked up Wavelake music feed or something, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the music. Oh, yeah. 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 I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. And if you look at it on Primal or one of these other apps that recognizes the embed, you can go there and you send a little zap. And actually, shout out to Josh, who's our employee at Wavelake, who just revamped the whole embeddable thing, and so the players look really cool now. Mm-hmm. But I showed him that. I zapped it from a social feed, and then I went into my activity, and you know, and he was just like, "That is," he's like, "If you can figure out a way to just say that, other than like, right. not every, if you can work on your elevator pitch for that," he's like, "That's what's going to get everybody." Because when I heard about this, when you started talking about it, I didn't really understand, but when you showed me how people can make money in these different avenues, it mm-hmm. now he's like, now I'm thinking of all the other places it could be. Could it be in videos? Could it be in TV shows? Could it be in movies? Could it be in playlists? I was like, it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere. The future is what you make of it. Yeah. So that's been my approach. That's how I'm trying to communicate with people. I mean, I'm still very cautious in how I do this. Mm-hmm. I only really engage with people about this stuff if they ask about it and they seem curious.
Yeah.
I have been trying to make a little bit, you know, I have different social media accounts. I have the Lightning Store, which most people in this space know me, but then I also have personal profiles and I'm a musician. So a lot of fans of my music and my projects that I've done in the past follow me there. And I've been starting to slowly introduce this stuff, you know, so people know it exists and they know I'm attached to it. When they start hearing about these things, maybe they'll come to me and ask, you know, what is this thing that I've been seeing? You know, instead of like, how do I make money with Bitcoin? They might be like, is this somehow related to Bitcoin, this music thing that you're doing? Like, tell me about that, you know, because I have a ton of friends. All my friends are musicians. So I'm just waiting for that day to happen, because it,
it will someday. Yeah. And I want people to understand it, you know, and because I want people to trust me to have a good experience with it too.
Yeah.
So I think just really playing the slow game is my approach. And I feel like that's what we should all be doing right now, especially at this moment in time where there's this crossroad where we might see some people start to come over from outside of the you know, financial world or the gains territory, like just normal people that are curious might want to know what's going on. And I think I think that's why we've learned everything that we've learned in the last several years, because we sort of have to be waiting in the wings to help these people when they need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with that. And I think, you know, a huge portion of our audience or any friends I have or folks from the left or just whoever, there's so many people that, you know, Bitcoin to a lot of people and to them is like this finance Wall Street asset type thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it kind of hit me again, because even so many people in Bitcoin, they say they don't care about the price, but they talk about it an awful lot. Right. And again, like everyone, obviously, if you're holding Bitcoin or you're into Bitcoin, you also hope that it goes up, right? You would like to, like, you know, have some Bitcoin, be able to like pay for your life, pay for your expenses, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But most of my friends and the people I talk to, and probably most of the people that would listen to this podcast, are not ones that are intentionally purely trying to get rich or trying to speculate on finance or on like Wall Street feeds and like all of these trading feeds and stuff like that. That's just, this isn't going to be their thing. But, you know, hearing about Bitcoin and all its different use cases around the world and all of these really cool tools, trying to explain that to Bitcoin, that's not an on the surface thing. But I totally agree with you. That slow game, you know, even for me, just trying to put out content, slowly having conversations. A friend will ask here and there, like different questions. Hey, I heard this. Hey, I heard that.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, I'm like, oh, this is kind of how we get there. Because if your only focus with Bitcoin is numbers, first of all, you're really going to disappoint people, because Bitcoin's quite the roller coaster for an early currency, as most early currencies would do. There are going to be some pissed off people. Second of all, those are the people that come and go quite a bit, because then they'll just jump onto the next thing, right? They'll be like, oh, well, NVIDIA's stock went up like 1,000%. That did better than Bitcoin. So let me jump there. Like, they're just in for those specific gains. Like, not to sound corny, but like, we're here for the revolution. Like, we're here for, like, Bitcoin is punk rock. We're here to separate money from the state. And also, there's these really cool tools and products that, hey, they're built on Bitcoin, they're built on Nostr. If you don't know that, that's okay. But these tools are really cool and they're different. Come check it out.
And that's what's so cool about now is that I don't feel comfortable talking with people about the price, because I feel, you know, sometimes a lot of, I'm sure you've had this experience too, sometimes a lot of these conversations about Bitcoin, the reaction that you get from people is like you're trying to sell them something.
Yeah.
And it could be,
or you're making it sound like a cult a little bit.
Yeah,
too,
it's like,
I
it's
think.
Yeah, it either sounds like a cult or you're trying to like I don't have any incentive if you buy Bitcoin or don't buy Bitcoin.
Yeah,
except
yeah.
Except if I know you and I love you, then I want you to succeed. And I think that, you know, I watch you doing these things and losing money or struggling to live because you have no way to store the money that you do have, you know, because that's the hardest part. You know, it's like, if you're just like regular 9-to-5 person, you know, like it's tough. I was just talking to my mom about my parents have had a business for 40 years or something. And I was like, not that they were doing this, but I was like, you have to get it out of your mind that like $20 an hour is a lot of money. we were talking about some of their employees, and it's like, it's not a lot of money today. You know, it seems like it is, because but if you go and you look at how these things work, most people that are going to be getting into this, I think soon are going to be, though, I mean, they probably will be looking for answers on the talking about the price, because it will probably skyrocket. But I think anyone listening on the other side of those conversations should be talking more, less about the price as like a lottery win, you know, and more about the stability of your money. I mean, people talk about how
like wildly unstable Bitcoin is, but you know, it's kind of unstable this way. It goes up, over a long enough time horizon. And that's the conversation that I typically have with people as I say, look, this is, yeah, maybe let's fast forward, you know, 6 to 12 months from now. It's like, yeah, cousin's brother, Bitcoin's $150,000. That's totally nuts. That's really cool. I hope you got something there. I want to let you know that it's probably going to drop again. But if you're in a position to hang on to that, I can just tell you from experience that it's going to work out really well, you know, for you as a store of value for you. Yeah. And also, you know, look at these all, and then look at all these cool products and cool businesses and cool people, what all these cool people are doing, and listen to this podcast, you know, go listen to some music, go start dabble in some of these things that weren't there when we started, where we didn't have a whole lot to attach to outside of just like super technical stuff. Yeah. But my conversations with those people are definitely more about the long-term value, you know, and just because we have a story now, like I've lived through multiple cycles with this stuff, and I have a story that I can tell people, you know. I'm in a group that's really cool, this business group thing, and the main rule is you're not allowed to give anybody advice, but you can share your experience, and it's been very powerful because you just get, if you hear someone's experience with something, you don't feel that pressure to do something. Like if I was like, dude, you got to buy Bitcoin, like you're going to like 100x your money in 10, like that's pressure. That's when someone's like, that's what happens with shitcoins and stuff. People are like, I don't know, like I don't have any money, but like this dude says, if I buy like Butcoin or something, I'm going to like make $100,000.
It's like half a penny. Yeah.
And it's like, I can get like tons of them. And I like, look what Bitcoin did. And this is going to be just like Bitcoin, they said. And then when that doesn't happen, like, how do you look? You look like a piece of shit. But if you can just say like, hey, look, in my experience, this is what I did and I didn't do it, you know, like I made these mistakes. So you're free to make them as well, but I can just save you a couple of years and just say, don't go down this path. It's not a good path. I can just tell you, if you trust me, I'll tell you that in my experience, this is how it played out for me. And I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes. And now I can see with a lot of clarity where this is going to go and how it's going to help not only my family, but a lot of other people around the world. Yeah. And with that experience, they can do what they want with it. You know, maybe it just ends up being a little nugget that doesn't sink in until down the road. You know, maybe they still end up buying Butcoin for a penny or whatever and doing their thing and losing.
I'm like 12 years old. Like you say butt and I'm just laughing. I'm just like giggling. Like, you said butt.
I mean, well, what's left at this point? You know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
But, you know, I think if anything, just being able to share these experiences, which is why podcasts like this and other podcasts are so powerful or becoming so much more powerful now, because we're not just talking about stuff. We're talking about our lives and how it's impacted lives of people, like real people, the experiences of people rather than just conceptual ideas, you know? Yeah. So we have people now around the world who have truly lived this and benefited from it and have thrived because of it and started businesses because of it and paid their water bill because of it, bought an apple on the side of the road because of it. You know, there's all these use cases that are very, very real now. So that needs to be, I think that needs to be the approach, at least for me. You know, that's what I'm going to continue to take.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been much more comfortable in that space. I mean, even like OG Bitcoin, well, back in 2013, depends on how you define OG, but I think he's an OG Bitcoiner. You know, Thomas Hunt, Mad Bitcoins, like the episode we dropped recently. You know, he was talking about, like, he was like, I just like live by example, not like as in follow my example, but he's just like, I just, people ask and I tell them what I did. And one quote, his friends were like, why are you not stressed? Like, you seem really chill. And he's like, I don't know, I bought Bitcoin. And like, then I chill. Like that was his kind of response. And then they dig a little more and it's kind of like, you know, living that example of like, okay, yeah, like, oh, Trey here, like he's been my friend. He works in nonprofits. And now my biggest passion is this. And they're like, why are you so excited about this? Why are you passionate about it? And then I'll tell them, and then they'll tell me to like, shut up because, you know, we've got to go to dinner or whatever. But I get super amped on this stuff. And I think, I love that approach. Like no one wants to be told what to do or how to do it. But if you just talk about your experience, yeah, people can do with that what they will. And I think that's such a good way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, I mean, it's been powerful for me. And a lot of decisions I've made since I've been in that group, and have been much better decisions because I didn't feel pressure to do something to connect with somebody, you know, because that's the exchange sometimes with advice. You're like, I don't know, my friend said I should do this. If I don't do what they think I should do, then maybe they're going to get mad or think I'm stupid for not, or like think it was the conversation was a waste of time, you know?
Yeah.
So I started that exchange is just such a good, even just in like day-to-day life, if someone's telling you a problem about something, has nothing to do with Bitcoin or anything else, it's just such a cool way to interact with people.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Sam, I feel like we're going to have a few more chats. This is really good. If you had, you know, one more message for folks about, you know, looking ahead to this year with Wavelake, with Noster, obviously I wanted to talk even more. We didn't even have time or get into it with Culture Shock, just these type of events. You know, there's more of these in-person events happening for Bitcoin that aren't just the Bitcoin conference, right? That's just this, okay, this showcase for a certain thing. There's all these like Noster events, like Culture Shock. You guys were doing awesome music and different events and different vendors and all of this stuff, like really cool, like festival type stuff that people would want to go to. When you look ahead to this year or the next few years with things like Wavelake, with, you know, focusing on music and things that you're doing, focusing on like Culture Shock and in-person events that are just talking about these things and, you know, Bitcoin's a bit embedded into it. You know, what are some of your hopes with this? And also, I guess, what are some of the challenges to getting to where you want to go with some of this in the short term?
I'll answer it backwards, I guess. The challenges are just that when you see something so clearly, but you have to practice restraint, like the restraint I was just talking about.
Totally feel
it's
that.
It's so hard to not go at 1,000 miles an hour. Like, you know, you feel like you are supposed to do, you know, because it's like, you feel like you have to run and tell everybody what's happening once you've figured it out. That's going to be the biggest challenge, is just practicing the patience on it. I think what we'll see is, and what I hope that we'll see that will alleviate that is just more organic growth happening faster. The snowball effect, the exponential stuff. I think we talked a lot about it at Culture Shock. Like, the writing is on the wall, especially we talked a lot about music there. And it's like in the music industry and the creator industry, the writing is on the wall. These things are not really working for people. Yeah. There's so many topical things we could talk about, like TikTok and UMG and how that the Universal pulled their catalog. And
Yeah. That's right.
And how that affects, like, the headline is Taylor Swift, but like there's also hundreds of other artists that signed a deal with Universal, or maybe some other label that Universal bought, you know, and now their stuff is gone. And maybe there's so much, it's crazy that it's happening, but there's so much music discovery happening on TikTok that really affects a lot of people, but people sort of just condense it into these headlines and they think like, oh, superstars are affected, boohoo, you know, but there's such a bigger problem. And then on the consumer side, it's like, the scalability of having so many subscriptions to everything, paywalls for everything, and not being able to connect with independent journalism because there's nowhere for them to be, you know? And so they're not even be able to connect with corporate journalism because there's paywalls and you don't want to pay $14.99 a month for some, just to have access to one article you want to read once a week, you know? So, I think what we're going to see is just, everybody's just so ready. They just don't know it yet. And you can't really tell them yet because you have to wait for them. Like, this has been the thing I keep saying, but I think we will see a much bigger flock of people come in, and there's just going to be so much there for them. And I think the building, I'm very excited for this cycle, but I'm more excited for the next one because I think that's really going to be the one where, you know, all this stuff everyone's been building the last several years is now going to get used in a very real and meaningful way. And that's going to set the tone, and it's going to build the group of people
are just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger to be able to bring in more people. And as that starts to happen, you see the, you know, like the boat's leaving and everyone's like, get on, like there's tons mm-hmm. of room. Like, let's go. We gotta go before everything comes crumbling down. You need to have your solution in place, you know? And I think we're going to see a lot of that. I mean, this is a interesting year, you know, it's a crazy election year and crazy stuff going on with money, crazy mm-hmm. stuff going on with Bitcoin and Lightning and Nostr. Like it's going to be really, really cool to see.
Yeah.
It's also probably going to get real dark. Like,
I know. I feel like I gotta pace myself. I'm like, if I'm already tired, oh man, I gotta.
Yeah.
But it's down.
It's a crazy time to be alive, you know, and see this stuff
happening. Yeah, it really is.
So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, whatever it is. Cause I think I'm just happy that like the solutions are there, you know, they are there. So at least there's hope.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Sam, I appreciate you, man. I'm super glad we were able to do this and chat. We'll definitely do it again very soon.
Thanks for having me.
People know, you know, where they can, what's the best way for people to interact with Wave Lake? Where can people go to, you know, get this Satoshi shirt while they last?
Yeah. So Wavelake.com. So some people call it Wave Lake. Don't know how to pronounce it.
How would you want to say it?
It's Wave Lake.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
It's Wave Lake. So it's there's no E. So it's WAVLAKE. Wavelake.com or just at Wavelake on any social platform that you have. Lightning Store, I do. If you want to buy a Satoshi shirt, Google Lightning Store, or you can find me on social media places at LTNG Store. And the website for that is just lightning.store, which is really easy to find. So cool. Yeah, go check that out.
And I was today years old. I feel so dumb. This is so funny. So Wave Lake, I just realized why it's called Wave Lake. I just thought of that. Like the audio file.
Yeah.
I cannot believe this is the first thing.
It's funny because I was talking to somebody.
So oh my gosh.
I was talking to somebody, I think in the UK, and I was like, well, it's an audio file.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're not,
yeah, like I do that with the podcast, like daily, like Wave to MP3, like I,
it did yeah, but they also said, oh my gosh. But they also said it was funny, but they're like, but I also pronounce those WAFs, and I was like, oh, okay,
oh, really? Oh, that's yeah, so funny.
So yeah. I guess it's like you're a like, GIF or a GIF type situation here.
Yeah, that's so funny. All right, well, Sam, thank you so much. We'll do this again soon. Pace yourself. I know you got a busy week, you said too, with the podcast and the coming down from a great event and all of that. But thank you so much. We'll definitely have you on again and do this soon.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to come back anytime.